Hello, it's Debbie back again on this Wednesday, October 12, 2016, reading from the e-edition of the Decatur Herald and Review, starting with the top article, Super PAC, Going After Rahner, GOP, Progressive Group Tries to Link Trump Support. At a time when many Republicans are running away from Donald Trump, a Democratic state senator has formed a political action committee that's seeking to bind members of the Illinois GOP to their party's presidential candidate. State Senator Daniel Biss, a progressive from Evanston, announced Tuesday that he's formed Leading Illinois for Tomorrow, or LIFT, LIFT, a federal super PAC that can collect unlimited contributions to support its message. The committee has already spent more than $1 million this week on television and digital advertising, according to filings with the Federal Election Commission. Biss said he'd formed the committee to combat the millions of dollars Republican Governor Bruce Rahner and his supporters are pouring into races for the General Assembly. Much of that money is being spent on campaign messages linking Democrats to Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan of Chicago, who leads the state Democratic Party and is considered widely unpopular with voters outside his district. Governor Rahner and allies of his, who have an extraordinary amount of money, are trying to paint a picture of what the Republican Party is about and what the Democratic Party's about, Biss said. The Republicans' message says they stand for reform, while Democrats represent the status quo. I think that picture is very inaccurate and, frankly, dangerous to the state, Biss said. He said Republicans really stand for protecting the wealthy at the expense of middle and working class families. Democrats, meanwhile, want to strengthen the economy by protecting the middle class, Biss said. The committee's first ad began airing Tuesday on the Chicago television market. Biss said there are plans to air ads downstate as well, but he declined to go into detail. The focus of the 32nd spot is Rahner's stated support for his party's presidential nominee. Bruce Rahner and the Illinois Republicans support a man for president who insults women, demeans immigrants, and makes fun of the disabled, a female narrator says. If Bruce Rahner and the Illinois Republicans support Donald Trump after all that, why would we support them? The ad intercuts brief clips of Trump making derogatory comments about an unnamed woman and a Mexican immigrant and mocking a disabled reporter with a clip of Rahner saying, "I will support the Republican Party's nominee." Rahner has gone to great lengths to distance himself from Trump, repeatedly providing answering questions about the presidential race or even saying the GOP candidate's name. The governor has denounced Trump's rhetoric and his comments about groping women that came to light last week with the release of a 2005 audio recording, but Rahner has yet to say he won't vote for him. When reporters asked Rahner about it Tuesday at a Hispanic Heritage Month event in Chicago, he replied, "To be crystal clear, I am not endorsing in the presidential race. I'm staying out of the presidential race." The Illinois Republican Party, however, is sticking with Trump, party spokesman Aaron DeGroote said. It's no surprise that Illinois Democrats are desperately trying to make the state election about anything other than their failed record of higher taxes, broken budgets, and insider deals under Michael Madigan, DeGroote said in an email statement. Voters won't be fooled. Sarah Brune, executive director of the Illinois Campaign for Political Reform, said groups like Biss are prohibited from coordinating with candidates or political parties, although, quote, "the rules for coordination are fuzzy," unquote. Biss is not on the ballot this year and said he's carefully avoided any conversations with candidates that could be considered coordination. The committee will disclose its donors as required by federal law, Biss said. End of that article. The big headline on the front of the paper is Ready to Take Plunge. Decatur Park District hosted a forum Tuesday night to discuss the future of aquatics, including Fairview Park Pool in Decatur. Water park proposal draws most interest at public presentation. This is by Justin Kahn, H&R staff writer, Decatur, the Decatur Park District, presented three options during Tuesday's public information meeting to discuss the future of aquatics in the community. But in the eyes of Kate Jordan, a mother of two from Decatur, there was only one choice. Option three, Jordan said, this is something we need to do. Option three was the most expensive of the three presented by Councilman Hunziker, an aquatics consulting firm hired by the Park District at an estimated $9.2 million, but it also was the biggest and had the most attractions. Okay, I think it's the choice three is estimated at $9.2 million. They included two water slides, children's play structure, tot features, plunge pool with bowl slide, climbing wall, rope swing, drop slide, and a six-lane 25-yard lap pool. I have two active boys, and they'd be all over those slides, Jordan said. We drive an hour out of town to go to water park five or six times a summer. We'd rather stay here. The Park District hired Councilman Hunziker because it wants to upgrade its aquatic center. The one at Fairview is 25 years old with bathhouses from 1966, and its location isn't ideal. After building Overlook Adventure Mini Golf at Nelson Park and the recent announcement of a new amphitheater as part of the Lakeshore Landing Lakefront Development Project, the Park District would love to add the new aquatic center just east of the Mini Golf Park. We wanted to make it a one-stop shop, Board President Bob Brilley II said. Councilman Hunziker agreed that Nelson Park is the better option for location. Councilman Hunziker Principal Kevin Post said floodplains like the Fairview Park area used to be considered ideal for pools, but that's no longer the case. The creek often floods and closes the road to the pool, and the area is limited for parking and pool expansion, Post said. Nelson Park offers easier access, synergy with other park district activities, and more area to work with. Option one was to renovate the bathhouses and spray ground at the Fairview Aquatic Center and add a children's play structure in the shallow end, two slides and shade structures. That estimated cost for option one was $5.3 million. This would add 15 years, but after that, a complete demo and rebuild would be required, Post said. New construction at Fairview, option two would last like option three, an estimated 30 to 50 years. The spray ground would be removed, but additions would include a leisure pool with vortex, lazy river, slide tower with two slides, play structure, bench seating, in addition to a lap pool and diving board. The estimated cost option two was $7.5 million. This gives you separate pools, so you don't have to shut down for fecal incidents, and it makes one side more of a passive, relaxing atmosphere and the other side more active, Post said. Parking, Post said, would be an issue in option two. More people would be drawn to visit, and there isn't room to accommodate the parking. Option three offers the separate pool areas, additional attractions, better parking, and a significantly larger facility, 2,500 more square feet of pool than option two. Post said Councilman Hunziker's research shows that people will drive 3 to 5 minutes to go to a pool, but drive farther, 20 to 30, if they have fun. Willingness to drive was based on experience, Post said. For something like option three, people would be willing to drive 30 to 45 minutes. Swimming has the highest participation of any park district sports activity, and while the park board will discuss it at today's meeting, we'll have to find a way to pay for it. Brilley was clearly in favor of something that would draw people. This is a feasibility study. We're not locked into anything, Brilley said. These are three options. We did this so we could keep the public informed. You pay the taxes, so we want your input. But I'm for anything that gets kids off the streets and into the parks. If that costs money, it costs money. For people who are looking to move here, they want recreation, and we have to get kids to the parks. Courtney Suttles of the Decatur School District and Ellen Hearn of Grow Decatur asked if a shell could be built over the lap pool for year-round use. Suttles said he hoped a new aquatic center would help return competitive swimming to the high schools and swimming lessons to the grade schools. That is an option, Post said, but most city park and rec programs aren't funding those by themselves. We'd recommend a partner for that. Hearn said a Grow Decatur survey showed people in Decatur wanted a water park, particularly for activities for what they perceived as the most underserved ages, 10 to 25. End of that article. Whoops, not bite the end. People were very specific. They wanted more things in the park for ages older than toddlers, Hearn said. Post said that need was addressed in their plans, with more room and activities in the shallow area where younger swimmers often congregate, and more to do for tweens and teens, particularly an option through with the plunge pool attractions. More political. State's attorney hopefuls sparred over allegations. This is by Huey Freeman for the H&R staff. Decatur. In their second battle to decide who will be the county's chief law enforcement officer, the candidates saved their most contentious arguments for their final remarks. One of the most important issues in this race has not been brought up, said Dan Hassinger, a private attorney who is challenging incumbent Macon County's state's attorney, Jay Scott. There are currently allegations of criminal misconduct and corrupt management practices plaguing the state's attorney's office. At the debate, sponsored by the student bodies of the two Decatur public high schools and held at MacArthur High School, Hassinger said that a special prosecutor has been requested by a Macon County board member to investigate the office. It is very concerning to me that Mr. Scott's response was that this is gutter politics, Hassinger said, adding that a state's attorney cannot even have an appearance of impropriety to be effective in leading his office. Once that confidence in your office breaks down, you're done for. Hassinger, who had about 20 supporters in the office wearing red T-shirts with his name on it, said that Scott lacks support within his own staff and that he has the experience and leadership skills to bring integrity back to the office. But Scott, who has denied all allegations against him, said it is most important to choose the most qualified person for the position. He said he was not surprised that Hassinger referred to his statement about gutter politics because that is exactly what the allegations are. Scott said former employees to whom Hassinger referred included those who played computer games and watched movies while on the job. He said some neglected their cases and lied to supervisors. One made inappropriate racial and sexual comments. I'm running on my experience, Scott said, adding he'd been a prosecutor for 29 years fighting for crime victims and public safety. This is not the training ground, the state office of state's attorney, for an inexperienced attorney. Hassinger has never prosecuted a single case in his life, never served a day as a prosecutor, Scott said. Nobody associated with me has ever engaged in dirty politics, Scott said, adding the two main people bringing allegations against him are two of Hassinger's biggest supporters. Now is not the time to turn the office over to someone with no experience to reverse all the successes of the last 4 years and success of the last 20. The debate was moderated by MacArthur Senior Maya Cook with questions from panelists Tabrina Eskridge and Scott Busboom, as well as audience members. In his opening statement, Jay Scott listed the accomplishments of his office since he was elected 4 years ago. He said the felony jury trial conviction rate for his office has increased by 29%, while the felony sex crimes trial conviction rate has increased by 203%. Since I was elected, our office is ranked number one in the state per capita in the number of violent felons that we sent to prison, Scott said, adding that the crime rate in Macon County is lower than neighboring communities because of the prosecutor's office and other law enforcement officers. Scott said when he took office, he immediately implemented the Elderly Victims Crime Unit. He and Sheriff Thomas Schneider personally answer calls from seniors who are struggling with fraudulent activity or other crimes. Hassinger said he's a former police officer and has been an attorney in Decatur for the past 6 years. I'm running for state's attorney because I care about Decatur and Macon County, Hassinger said. Busboom asked if it was time to send a stronger message to the county about prosecuting crimes against children, considering a recent increase. It's very tragic, Hassinger said. I don't think the current state's attorney takes it very seriously. I think we all do. As state's attorney, he would make sure to prosecute crimes against children. Scott agreed that he takes child abuse cases seriously, selective as to which cases he prosecutes, and he has assigned himself to take on several child abuse cases. He said in one case, which a child was left in a vegetative state, prosecutors asked for maximum penalty, but the judge sentenced the offender to 24 years. In a case he handled himself in which a child was punished by scalding his hands in boiling water, Scott took the case to trial, won a conviction, and asked for 45. The felon received 12 in prison, which Scott did not believe was an appropriate sentence. Nobody should prey on children or senior citizens, Scott said, adding he has done everything he can to gain lengthy sentences for those who hurt the most vulnerable victims. In response to a question about the budget for the office, Hassinger said he would be honest, open, transparent state's attorney who reports what is happening to the county board. He said he would not give out hidden bonuses or extravagant pay raises. Hassinger said he would implement pay grades for assistant state's attorneys like other counties do. Scott said these are tough times in which his budget has been cut 7% for the coming fiscal year after earlier cuts of 2 and 3. He said he has not hidden any bonuses. You can't hide money when you're in government, Scott said. Every penny is accounted for. I've come in under budget every year. He said he has cut expenses as much as possible and has the lowest starting salaries for assistant state's attorney in the state at $35,000. If Scott gives raises in some cases to $45,000, that is still not very much for an attorney to earn. Our budget is totally public, Scott said. Anyone can examine it. End of that article. And the last article on the front page, Republican Trump unleashes attack on own party. Republican candidate says shackles off due to leader's non-support. Washington. This is by AP writers Steve Peoples, Jonathan Lemire, and Jill Colvin. The shackles gone, Donald Trump stepped up to his fierce attacks on his own party leaders Tuesday, promising to teach Republicans who oppose him a lesson and fight for the presidency, quote, the way I want to. I am just tired of non-support from leaders of the party he represents on the presidential ticket, Trump said. Tuesday evening on Fox News Channel, The O'Reilly Factor, he saved special ire for House Speaker Paul Ryan, who told Republicans Monday he'll no longer campaign for Trump with 4 weeks to go before Election Day. I don't want his support. I don't care about his support, Trump said. With his campaign floundering and little time to steady it, the businessman reverted to the combative, divisive strategy that propelled him to victory in the GOP primary. Attack every critic, including fellow Republicans. Those close to Trump suggested it was open season on every detractor, regardless of party. Quote, it's so nice that the shackles have been taken off me and I can now fight for America the way I want to, unquote, Trump said in a tweet that brought new concern, near panic in some cases, to a party trying to stave off an all-out civil war before November 8th. In another series of tweets, the Republican nominee called House Speaker Paul Ryan weak and ineffective. McCain, very foul-mouthed, and disloyal Republicans far more difficult than crooked Hillary. They came at you from all sides. They don't know how to win. I will teach them. Rage against fellow Republicans from the face of the 2016 GOP exposed a party slipping from mere feuding into verbal warfare with advanced voting already underway in roughly half the states. Polls suggest Trump is headed toward a loss of historic proportions if he doesn't turn things around. His scorched earth approach, days after his sexual predatory language caught on tape triggered a mass Republican defection, threatened to alienate even more supporters. Fighting for the sake of fighting is not really very helpful, said former Trump advisor Barry Bennett. Trump has acknowledged the possibility of defeat in recent days, but on Tuesday he tried to shift the blame for his struggles on Republican defections and an election system that may be rigged against him. On Monday, he warned of potential voter fraud in heavily African-American Philadelphia, a claim for which there is no evidence, but one that could challenge Americans' faith in a fair democratic process. At the same time, Trump's campaign is considering whether to feature Bill Clinton's accusers at his upcoming rallies. Trump shocked the political world before Sunday's debate by appearing with several women who had accused the former president of sexual impropriety decades earlier. The aggressive shift is in line with the philosophy of recently hired campaign chairman Steve Bannon, whose conservative website has long fueled attacks on Republican leaders and perpetuated popular conservative conspiracy theories. The approach has done little to endear Trump to anxious party leaders. At least 40 Republican senators and congressmen have revoked their support for the embattled Republican nominee, with nearly 30 of them urging him to quit the race altogether. Republican Speaker Ryan, in a Monday conference call with congressional Republicans, said he no longer campaign with Trump. He said he would focus instead on ensuring Clinton doesn't get a blank check with the Democratic-controlled Congress, all but conceding that Trump would lose the presidential contest. Trump's running mate, Mike Pence, had an interview with NBC Tuesday. He was disappointed by the defections and respectfully disagreed with Ryan. Yet, Trump's aggressive shift is popular among his most loyal supporters, who continue to flock to his rallies by the thousands. Megan Johnston, 54, shrugged off his sexually aggressive comments in the 2005 video and pointed at Democrat Hillary Clinton's shortcomings. He said what he said, and he apologized. She should be in jail, Johnson said during a rally near Pittsburgh. At a rally in Newton, Iowa, Pence received multiple standing ovations and was thanked at one point for sticking with Trump, a sign of how badly Trump has faltered. "You just got my respect for not jumping and bailing out on Donald Trump." Another woman told Pence she was concerned about widespread voter fraud and warned that if Clinton wins, "I'm ready for revolution." "Don't say that," Pence responded. Yes. As the GOP battled itself, Clinton focused on climate change in swing state Florida alongside former Vice President Al Gore. Gore, whose 2006 documentary An Inconvenient Truth focused on global warming, said Clinton would make, quote, "make solving the climate crisis a top national priority," unquote. End of that article. Continuing on to the local section for Wednesday, October 12th. Search firm makes pitches. School board considers next superintendent recruitment proposals. This is by Tony Reed, another staff writer for H&R. Decatur. The Decatur School Board got some advice Tuesday night. Know yourself. The words of wisdom came from one of two search firms executive vying for the job of helping the board find its next superintendent. The Decatur School District has been in the market for a classroom chief executive since the divided board failed to extend the contract of former Superintendent Lisa Taylor. She had served since 2014 and announced in April she'd taken a new job. Bill Attia, one of the founders of the search firm Hazard Young Attia and Associates, said it might be a good idea for the board to do some homework. "The extra thing we would probably want to give you is maybe one or two board workshops to help you better focus on what you might really be looking for," said Attia, whose firm has assisted the board previously. He said his firm's search fee, $17,500 plus expenses, would include the workshops. Attia said the workshops would help in, quote, "putting the board more in sync before you see your candidates so you're looking for the same things." Also making a search sales pitch at the board Tuesday night meeting, a selection division will, all right, start over again here with this paragraph, sorry. Also making a search sales pitch at the board's Tuesday night meeting, a selection decision will come later, was rival search firm School Exec Connect. One of the firm's partners, Thomas Madden, said an intense recruitment effort was necessary because experience tells them the best candidates aren't job shopping. "They are not even thinking that he or she might have a different job next year," said Madden, "and that is where recruitment's very important." His firm would also charge $17,500 plus expenses, and Madden said he would have to do his homework to learn the school district and understand its needs. "I need to know what it's going to do to take to make this school district," he added, to make it in this school district. In other business, the board approved extending the contracts of interim co-superintendents Bobby Williams and Michael Dugan until June of 17. The board also approved spending $35,650 for emergency repairs to replace the limestone facade in danger of falling at the newly refurbished MacArthur High School. The board is also considering a proposal to spend $200,000 for a detailed building structure and equipment needs survey of its $1.7 million square feet of space. The idea is the survey will provide a blueprint to guide future repair and improvement spending, such as adding air conditioning. End of the article from the school board. Next article, linemen climbing to new heights. Ameren sending teams to the International Linemen's Rodeo event. This is by Tony Reed of the H&R staff. Decatur, starting in pole position, takes on a whole new meaning when you are an Ameren, Illinois lineman heading out to the rodeo. That's rodeo as in the International Linemen's Rodeo, happening Friday and Saturday in Bonner Springs, Kansas. More than 200 linemen, teams from utilities all over the nation and world, will converge for a series of exercises designed to find out who's got the power when it comes to job skills. Rodeo challenges include speed climbing a 40-foot pole and then descending with enough finesse that a raw egg held in the lineman's mouth remains unbroken. And then there is a simulated rescue of a hurt lineman that involves securing and lowering a dummy to the ground after making the wires safe, also well perched at the top of the 40-foot pole. Ameren, Illinois is sending multiple teams of 24 journeymen linemen and 14 apprentices to the rodeo, and they were practicing their skills Tuesday at the Utilities Training Center in Decatur. Sock Beatty, Zach Beatty, a lineman out of LaSalle, ended up letting his rescue dummy descend earthward a little too rapidly, but pointed out nothing's easy under the critical eye of your smiling colleagues. Beatty, however, also feels like a winner. He said he's doing his dream job and he loves it most when battling frigid temperatures and howling winds to get the lights back on. It's such a good feeling to help people who've been freezing in their houses, said Beatty, 33. What's at stake in the rodeos are trophies, plaques, and priceless bragging rights for the winners, but it's also a demonstration and perfection of skills with a deadly, serious undercurrent. The Ameren teams, for example, include Decatur linemen Don Putman and Josh Simpson, who got to play both parts in a real rescue drama. In 2014, Simpson accidentally bumped a line, and the jolt of current left him hanging unconscious in his climbing straps at the top of a pole. Putnam helped rescue his friend and lower him to the ground. There is a special bond between the linemen who work together, said Putnam, 34. He makes sure that I go home to my family, and I make sure he goes home to his. End of that article. Eisenhower joins WSOY Food Drive Top 5. Teresa Churchill from H&R. Decatur, Eisenhower High School edged out St. Teresa High School for fifth place among schools given to the 15th WSOY Community Food Drive on Friday at the Airport Plaza Kroger. Totals released Tuesday by Newhoff Media showed Eisenhower gave $42,835 just 100 more than St. Teresa. This year's drive is the first time a Decatur public school finished in the top five since the first event in 2002. Fifth place is worth $500 from sponsors of the food drive. I'm very excited, said Maria Robertson, Community Engagement Director for the school district. It warms my heart to see high schoolers finding it important to be good citizens in the community. Eisenhower will also get another $500 traditionally provided by Tate and Lyle to the top five performing Decatur public schools. According to the official results, the other schools are MacArthur High School, Parsons and Dennis Schools, and Hope Academy. A total of 47 schools/districts participated in the food drive, which collected a record of $1,400,895 for food pantries, including those of Decatur Catholic Charities and the Salvation Army. Next article, and we'll finish this section. EIU continues to shed jobs to save costs. This is by Jared German of the Lee News Service. Charleston. Well, on a much smaller scale than previously, Eastern Illinois University staff and faculty numbers are still dipping, according to recent numbers. Through faculty non-reappointments and other departures, EIU has seen a continued decline since before layoffs took place when the university employees number rested at 1,743. As of September 30, numbers the university had 1,256 employees, including staff, faculty, administration. This is a difference of 487 employees. Since last reported in May, the university has 74 fewer employees. Faculty saw a loss of about 38 from adjunct faculty who largely take on 1 to 3 classes. Interim Vice President for Business Affairs Paul McCann said, this is the top of the 12 faculty members laid off previously. They looked at the class schedule and they said, we can get by without Teacher X, McCann said. McCann said the university saw some flexibility in terms of cost efficiency in the adjunct faculty pool. When you get right down to it, doesn't save a whole lot of money, but it was one place where we were somewhat flexible, McCann said. End of that article. And a few briefs. 4-H STEAM Day. The Macon County Extension Office is hosting a 4-H STEAM event for ages 8 to 18 from 1 to 3:45 Saturday. 4-H STEAM is a fun-filled day diving into the world of 4-H science in a la carte atmosphere. Participants can choose to attend multiple STEAM sessions that match their interests, such as videography, animal science, 3D printing, aerospace, creative writing, and much more. Also, Decatur Boo at the Zoo, Scoville Zoo Boo at the Zoo, will be 3 to 8 p.m. Saturdays and Sundays, October 15th, 16th, 22nd, 23rd, and 29th, and 5:30. Rides on the Endangered Species Carousel and Fright Night Express train will have separate charges. The zoo will not be open Halloween night. Flu Shot Clinic. The Macon County Health Department will hold a flu shot clinic 9 to 11. Well, it was this morning. Health Department would have information about more of these shots. And then lastly, back to work. Back to work, putting ex-offenders on a path to success, will be the focus of a free panel discussion from and lunch from noon to 1:30 p.m. Thursday, October 13th, at the Decatur Conference Center and Hotel on 36. The panelists are Lisa Creason of Decatur, Ed Bachrach, employer and board member for Illinois Policy Institute, and Anthony Lowry for a Safer Foundation. This is the end of part one of Wednesday, October 12th. Be back with you shortly.